We're holding on your Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots, a little bit above the middle of the Amud. Continuing in the Mishnah on the things that require a certain number of Dayonim, the Mishnah said, Smichas is a Kenim. When the Kenim do Smicha. Now we're going to talk about in the Gemara that really the word smicha over here has two meanings. It can mean leaning the hands on like they do on a korban, and it can also mean smicha as in giving smicha to chachamim that they now have the title of Rebbe, they're now able to judge dini knosis and so forth. So first, the first meaning of it, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa. Now the Mishnah had said that you need three chachamim. Well, we had two opinions in the Mishnah. How many you need for smicha skenim to lean their hands on the korban? And we're talking about when we say the korban over here, we mean the par helam dava shel tzibur. When the Sanhedrin makes a mistake in halacha, and most of the people follow them, as we'll learn Be'ez Hashem at the end of this year. We'll be learning in detail in Masech Tahori. It's all about that. So now they bring a korban on behalf of the whole tzibur, and the Sanhed, the Ziknei Ha'eda, as the Gemara is going to quote the pasuk over here, lean their hands on the head of the animal. So we're saying that you need at least three of them to, at least you need, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need, according to Rabbi Shimon, you need three of them to do that, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, five. So, Tana Rabbanan, when the pasuk says for samchu ziknei, when it says the ziknei should rest their hands, yochol ziknei ashuk. So you would think that means just any old zikanim, after all, can mean old people. So it can mean any random old people. No, Tamad Lama Eda. Therefore, the pasuk continues Eda, where Eda means the Sanhedrin. Like we had in the Mishnah, that you had an Eda Shefetes, the Eda Matzelas, a group of 10. We said 10, the minimum of 10 is an Eda, and that meant 10 Dayonim. So we know that Eda means Dayonim, means members of the Sanhedrin. E Eda Yochok Tane Eda. Still, maybe it can mean even the lesser members of the Sanhedrin. No, Tamadlaim Ha Eda. Therefore, it says the Eda, Miuchodin Shav Eda, the unique ones among the Eda, meaning the Sanhedrin Gdola. So it's not just enough that you're going to take members, three or five members from any random Sanhedrin of 23, and have them be the ones leaning their hands on the animal as the representatives of the Jewish people. It has to be members of the Sanhedrin Gdola. The Kama, now how many do you need? Well, the Samchu Shnayim, the Samchu Shnayim Ziknei Shnayim, the pasuk says they should rest their hands, which is a plural, which means a minimum of two, and it says Ziknei, the elders, which is also a minimum of two, so far that gives you four, the Ein Beis Din Shokol, and as we've been having throughout the parak, a Beis Din cannot be an even number, because they might be tied, therefore you add one more, Harekan Chamisha, therefore you have five, give it Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Now, on the face of it, you could ask, as the question is, with a few of the things in our Mishnah, where is Mela, when they're sitting and judging, you could have a deadlock between them, and therefore you need an odd number in order to break the tie. But here, when they're resting their hands on a korban, what do we need that for? So one point is the Yad Ramah says, what about, for example, there might be a mum in the animal, and then they're going to argue among themselves whether it's a mum kavua, whether it's a permanent mum or a temporary mum. So you need an odd number. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says that's where you get five. Reb Shimon says, no, just ziknei shnayim, don't darshin from the word v'samchu, just the word ziknei, the elders, means two, v'ein beis din shokol, and a beis din can't be an even number, ma'sifin alein oidechad, so you need to add another one, harikan shloisha, so you have three. So according to Reb Shimon, you're not darshining anything from the word v'samchu. Well, the question is, Reb Shimon Haksiv Vesamchu, or what is Reb Shimon doing with that word? And the answer is, Homi Barila the Gufe. He needs that for the goof of it, just to tell us, in other words, exactly that there needs to be smicha. So we don't have it available also for a drasha. So you can't use it to add two more. Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, Lagufa letzarech. You don't need the word v'samchu for Lagufa. You're going to say you need it in order to tell us you need smicha. De'im ken, delay osi v'samchu l'drasha. If the word v'samchu was not meant for a drasha, lichtev zikne ha'eda yideim al rosh ha'par, the pasuk could have just said the elders of the Eda should have their hands on the head of the par. Now the point is, in other words, the word ziknei is also needed legufay, but fine. But the fact that it says loshen rabbi means that two. But on the face of it, Reb Shimon is saying you need the word v'samchu. It has to be in plural because it's together with the word zikne. But it's needed to tell us that there's smicha. But Reb Yehuda is saying you don't need the word at all. You could just say the zikne eda should have their heads, their hands should be on the head of the bull, and we would understand that it means that they're doing smicha. Reb Shimon, what does Reb Shimon answer back to that? He says, "Iksiv hochi." If it just said their hands should be on the bull without the word besamchu, you wouldn't know you need have a minim, my al besamuch. Then you would think maybe the word al over here doesn't mean literally on top of. Maybe it just means they need to be near it. Sometimes in Chumash and in the rest of Tanakh, we find sometimes that the word al is used to mean something near something else. For example, v'olav matim benachme. You find by the encampments of the Jewish people in the Midbar, v'olav mate Menashe, that on Shevet Ephraim was Shevet Menashe. It doesn't mean on, of course, it means near. So here, if it didn't say the samchu, you would think it just means their hands have to be near the power, not necessarily on it. V'Rav Yehuda, what does Rav Yehuda answer back to that? He says, Gomar Rosh Vosh Ma'ola. He says, we're going to know it. It doesn't mean near. We're going to know it means their hands have to be doing smicha on it, because we would have a Gzeder Shava on the word Rosh from a Korban Ola. whereby an oila it says v'samach yade al roish ha'oila, and here it says al roish ha'por. So therefore we would learn just like over there it's smicha the same way over here smicha. Reb Shimon like gomar roish me'oila. Reb Shimon had not learned that gzeira shava from oila. A person can't make a gzeira shava on his own. He can only use a gzeira shava that was taught to him by his rabbeim. And Reb Shimon had not learned this gzeira shava from his rabbeim. Therefore, he can't use roish for the gzeira shava. Therefore, he needs the word besamchu to teach us about the very fact that you need smicha. And therefore, according to him, you're left with only two in the pasuk, and then a third one that we add, and then a third one we add in order not to have a tie. So that's that. Tana, we learn in a brisa, smicha u'smicha zkenim the gimel. When it comes, both smicha that we just said over here, meaning that they rest their hands, they lean their hands on the animal when it's before it's going to be shechted. So we said Rabbi Yehuda had said that you need five. Rabbi Shimon says you need three. The halacha, by the way, is like Reb Shimon in that the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, you need five for that. So Braisa says that you need three for smicha and smicha's kenim. So my smicha, my begimel, both of those are with three. My smicha, my smicha's kenim. What do we mean by smicha's kenim? What's the difference between them? Rab Yechanan mismach sovi. So Rab Yechanan says smicha's kenim means giving smicha to the chachamim, where now they have the title Rebbe, and now they're able to judge dine knosis, and when dine momenus are, and when dine nefoshes are in effect, they can judge dine nefoshes as well. All of that, it requires them to be smuchim. Namely, we learned at the beginning of the perek, at the beginning of the Masechta, we said you have when it comes to dayonim, the pasuk uses the word elikim. Elikim literally means the powerful ones, so it means the ones who have the smicha, ish mipi ish, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they're the ones who have smicha who are able to judge dine knosis. You also there's Gemara's on the shelf. So the Gemara says, Omalei Abayla Rabbi Yosef Mismach Sovi B'Tlosim Menolon. Where do we know that you need three for smicha of Zkenim to give them this title of Rebbe? Is it because we find by Moshe Rabbeinu it says that he rested his hands on Yeshua and appointed him as the next leader of the Jewish people? Well, then it should be enough to have one person, because only Moshe did it. You're going to say, look, Moshe himself counts as the equivalent of the entire Sanhedrin of 71. Well then, well, in that case, then we should require all 71 members of the Sanhedrin to be there. And the fact is, the Mishnah is saying that you need only three. Or the Braise is saying you need only three. Okay, so the Gemara says kasha. You're right, it's a kasha, how we would learn that from the pasuk. With that said, though, because of that, a kasha is not a tuvta, it means we haven't slugged it up. The Rambam actually paskins, you do need three, however, only one of them needs to have smicha. As we find by Moshe with Yeshua, the Gemara is going to mention soon, in connection with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that when we say that Pliny gave Pliny smicha, it doesn't always mean that it was only him. There may have been others present as well, but we're not counting them because they're of a lesser caliber. So ultimately, you need three over here, but you only need one of high caliber, namely who has smicha and is able to give it to others. Do they literally lay their hands on the person who's receiving smicha? You have to realize, by the way, smicha could be given only in Eretz Yisrael, as we're going to discuss as we go through the story over here. Rav Acha Brei de Rava and Rav Ashi lived in Eretz Yisrael, and in their times they may not even have even been giving smicha anymore because they were at the end of the period of the Amoraim in Bavel. So they need to know, how does smicha actually work? So does it actually involve a physical laying of hands? Omar Lai, so Rav Ashi says, no, samchen le b'shma, it just means they give him smicha with the name. Namely, Kori Le Rebbe, that they give the person the title Rebbe, V'yave Le Rishus Elamedan Dine Knossos, and they give him permission to judge Dine Knossos. Because when it comes, again, like we said, when it comes to Dine Knossos, then the Pasuk says Elikim. So now, at the beginning of the parak, we talked about that in principle you should require elikim, in principle you should require smuchim for all cases, including even regular dine mamonis, person lends somebody else money or whatever. However, then you have the problem of mishum shalai tino delas lifnei loivin. We don't want the door to be closed and locked against people who want to borrow money. Namely, a person's going to say, well, why should I bother lending you money if we need it based in smuchim, and such bati dinim are not always available nowadays. They're not available at all. So therefore, I don't want to bother. So therefore, by certain cases of dinim mamonis, therefore, the chachamim have the ability to judge, even with the chachamim of old generations have the ability to judge even when they don't have when they don't have the smicha ish v'piish. But when it comes to dinei knossos, which is something unusual, Rashi points out it's unusual and there's no chisorin kis. After all, for example, what's an example of a knas? Is kashlomei kefil. So the fact that he has to pay back the keren, that he has to pay the amount he stole, sure, that's a chisorin kis, and that's something that bati dinim outside Eretz Yisrael can judge. But not the kefil, where the victim didn't lose anything. That's basically a bonus that he would have been getting. So for that, we can't say that we, the bati dinim without smicha, are acting on behalf of the ones who do, and therefore we can't do that unless we ourselves have the smicha ish mipiish, which we do not. But in other words, the point is the smicha does not actually require a physical laying of hands. An interesting point, in fact, as Mephoroshim point out, it doesn't even necessarily require them to be physically present in the same location. It could actually be that for example, they could actually do a smicha by letter. Now, famously, about 500 years ago, Rabbi Yaakov Bei Rav, a rebbe of the Beis Yosef, one of the great chachamim of his times, tried to reestablish smicha. It became a whole huge controversy. Some chachamim accepted it, some did not. That smicha persisted for a couple of generations. The Beis Yosef himself got it. The Chaim Vital got it. I think the Arizal got it. A few others of that generation, but it never took off for a variety of reasons. A bunch of rabbanim of that time were against it on various grounds. But in any case, early in the thing, the Rabbi Yaakov sent a smicha by letter to the Ralbach, Rabbi Lehi ben Chaviv, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim at the time, and it would have been a valid smicha. The Ralbach actually did not accept it. He was one of the leading voices against this whole idea of reestablishing smicha for a variety of reasons. They wrote whole letters and whole kontrasim on the subject that had been printed, but in any case, the point is, he was trying to send him a smicha by letter, and it would have worked. So the Gemara says, "V'chad lo yisamich." You're telling me that one person alone cannot give smicha. V'ha'omer of Yehuda Amarav, bram in truth. The word bram literally means but or however. But sometimes we find that it means in truth. In last week's parasha, Rashi mentioned on Avol Hashem Manachnu that in Loshen Dreima, which means either Roman language Latin, or it means language of the south of Eretz Yisrael, whatever. The word bram means in truth. So in truth, Zohar Oysah Ishlatov, the following person should be remembered for good, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shmai, namely Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Sheol Molehu, if it weren't for him, Nishtachu Dinev Knossus Misrael. Dinev Knossus would have been forgotten from among the Jewish people. Think about what I mean, Nishtachu. Nigrasinu. All we have to do is learn them again. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, what he was accomplishing over here, as we're going to go on to tell the story, didn't prevent Dinev Knossus from being forgotten. Ella Botlu Dinev Knossus Misrael. Rather, what we mean is Dinev Knossus would have ceased to have been judged from the Jewish people because there wouldn't have been smicha. Now, nowadays, in fact, we don't have, so eventually it was bottled, but at least he was able to preserve it for a few hundred more years. What happened? Pamachas Gozra Malchus Arashah Gzeira Yisrael. The wicked kingdom, which is the Romans, made a Gzeira on the Jewish people. Shekola Soymech Yehoreg. Anybody who gives smicha will be killed. And anybody who receives smicha will be killed. The irish esemchen batechoriv, even the city in which the smicha takes place will be destroyed. This way they're gonna outlaw it altogether. Utchumen shesemchen behen yeokru, and even the tchum, even if it's done outside the city, everything within a tchum of the city is going to be destroyed. So they're absolutely out to abolish smicha altogether. And Yoyada points out that, other Gzeiris, they figured, you know what, let's say, for example, we're Gozer on Shabbos or whatever, fine, people may not keep Shabbos for a while, eventually the Gzeir will be over and they'll go back to keeping Shabbos, but they knew if they can break Smicha for one generation, then that's it, Smicha is going to cease, because it has to be Ish Mipish. So that's why they were taking such strong measures about it. Anyway, so Ma also Yehuda ben Bava. So what did Yehuda ben Bava do? Holach v'yoshav lebin shnei horim gdolim. He went and sat between two big mountains, so he could hide there. Oben shtei ayoras gdolos, between two big cities, so not in the city, so at least they don't destroy it. Oben shnei tchumei shabbos, and between two tchumei shabbos, because he's outside of the tchum shabbos of the city, so even the Romans are not going to destroy the cities. Marshall says the vote is that it was literally exactly between two cities, in the sense that now when the Romans come, then each city can say it was in the tchum of the other city, so that way both of them will get away with it. Anyway, Ben Usha l'Shfaram. He was between the towns of Usha and Shfaram in the north of Eretz Yisrael. The Samach Sham Chamisha Zkenim. He gave smicha there to five Zkenim. The Elohen, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Reb Yosi, Reb Elazar ben Shamua. Reb Ivya Moisef after Reb Nechemia. Reb Ivya adds there was a sixth one, Reb Nechemia. So he gave them all smicha. Now, by the way, we were just talking about that maybe they don't need to be physically present in order to receive smicha, but that might be, in other words, for example, that if you have, when the Sanhedrin Dola, for example, as a body, is saying to give somebody smicha, then fine, they can do it long distance, they can do it by letter or whatever, but here we were talking about that it's a small group, then maybe in fact they do need to physically be present in order to receive smicha. And he was saying, after all, these five or six chachamim were risking their lives also to come there. Kivinshi kiru oivim behen, then the enemies realized what was happening, and they're coming to arrest them and kill them, omalahen. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava tells them, Bonai, my sons, rutsu, run away. Omrulai, they said, Rebbe, matahe alecha, Rebbe, what's going to be with you? You're old, you can't physically get away that fast. Omalahen, he says, I'm going to sit over here in front of them like a rock that can't be turned over. In other words, I'm not going to run away. And this way also, while they're busy with me, you'll have time to get away. Marshall says also, the vote is that he's saying, I'll be like a stone, I won't even feel the pain. In fact, it's brought in various Sfarim of Rishonim that people who were killed, people who had the schus to be killed, or Kiddush Hashem, they physically didn't feel the pain. It was a special gift, Min HaShemayim.
Special people
we're talking about. But yeah, for example, one of many examples in Jewish history, for example, there was a blood libel in France in the city of Blois. In northern France, in Rabbeinu Tam's times, actually it was 2 weeks before Rabbeinu Tam was Nifter, Chof Sivan, that's one of the reasons why Chof Sivan used to be a fast day. Anyway, it's brought over there, 30 odd Yidden were killed by Kiddush Hashem over there, and while they were being burnt, at the stake, and while they were being burnt, they were singing, and the Goyim standing around had no idea what it was. Afterwards, they asked around, they found out these people were singing Aleinu. But yeah. So he says, I'm going to sit over here like a stone that can't be moved, and I'm not even going to react. Omru, they said, Loizazun Misham, the enemies, the Romans, didn't move from there, Abshin Natsubos Shloshmeis Lunvius Shalbarzel, before they'd stuck 300 spears into him, Vasob Kvara, and they made him like a sieve full of holes. They probably killed him with hundreds of spears. But the point is, in other words, of the story, we see that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava alone is the one who gave the 5 or 6 Tamidim Smicha, and yet you're telling me that you need 3. The answer is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Achrini Habu Ba'ade. There were other Chachamim with him as well, because you need 3. The Haidalei Choshev Lehumishim Kvoizid Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. We're not mentioning them because of the covet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. He's the greatest among them. And especially, it fits very nicely with what the Rambam is saying, that you need of the 3, only one has to have smicha. Well, very well then, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is the one who has smicha. The other two are not required to have smicha, and they're there only in order to have the group of 3 in order to give smicha. So it works out nicely that he's the greatest among them, and therefore it's called by his name, even though in fact there were 2 others.
So the Malchus, which were a very high caliber.
The Malchus, we're talking about the Roman Empire.
Can you say that they didn't feel the pain when they were being killed, or?
Who? Yeah, so Rabbi Malchus, yeah, that's what we're talking about, yeah. Yeah, we see, for example, by Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, for example, when they were combing off his skin, when they were taking off his skin, he screamed only when they got to the place of the tefillin. Well, he told him that the skin of his forehead with his tefillin were replaced should now be taken off by them for their plaything, yeah. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Samchei, are you telling me Rabbi Meir received smicha from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, va'amar Rabbi Baba Chana, amar Rabbi Yechanan, kola oimer Rabbi Meir lo samcha Rabbi Akiva. Anybody who says that Rabbi Meir did not receive smicha from Rabbi Akiva, eina ela toya, is only making a mistake. So you see, he received smicha from Rabbi Akiva. So what does he need from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? That befrat also, the Gemara may know, now we know that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava were among the Asor Arugim Malchus. It may be that Rabbi Akiva was killed before Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava when we in Eila Ezkera and Auzi Alavon, and we talk and mention them in that order. So it may be the Gemara knows Rabbi Akiva had already passed away by the time Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava did this. Anyway, the answer is Samche Rabbi Akiva v'lo kiblu. Rabbi Akiva did give Rabbi Meir smicha, but people did not accept it because Rabbi Meir was fairly young. The Samche, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the Kiblu. Later on, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava gave him smicha again, and people accepted that he has smicha.
That must be.
Yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, Ein smicha b'chutz la'aretz. There is no smicha in chutz la'aretz. So the Gemara says, my ain smicha, ilemed lo dine dine knosas klal b'chutz la'aretz. Do you mean that if you have a basin of smuchim, they cannot judge dine knosas in chutz la'aretz? No, v'hatznan. We learn in a Mishnah, in Makkos, Sanhedrin neheges bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. This obein b'chutz la'aretz. The Sanhedrin functions whether in Eretz Yisrael or in chutz la'aretz. Wherever the Sanhedrin are, if they're traveling to chutz la'aretz, then they're still able to judge all the dine knosas and even dine nefoshes that they're able to anywhere else. Ella deloit samchinon b'chutz la'aretz. Rather, what it means is that you can't give smicha in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, and that's part of the reason also when the Romans made that harsh zera, they knew, as Ben Yehoyada is saying, not only all they have to do is break it for one generation, but all they have to do is in Eretz Yisrael. They don't even need to make this zera in the rest of their empire. They outlawed and have these harsh punishments in Eretz Yisrael, and you have one generation, and then again, once it happens for one generation that can't be restored, then they figure that's it. They're going to break smicha from the Jewish people, but because of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, they weren't able to.
So you're getting to learn also, guys.
Yeah. You have to realize also, I mean, they had Jewish or semi-Jewish advisors. You had in those years, for example, you had the early Christians, some of whom were Jews, were helping them out. You know, we have the Bracha of Olam Al Shinim about them. So they had their ways of knowing what's going on internally among the Jewish people. Yeah. By the way, Ben Yehoyada points out, you know, when you think about it, I mean, the 5 or 6 Chacham who came also deserve credit. Why are we giving credit to the Rehuda ben Bava Davka? And he gives 2 answers. One of them is they're younger. They can more easily run away. He can't, as in fact he was killed. And the other point is, each of them, if the Romans come, they could say, you know what, we're not one of the ones who received smicha. We only came to watch. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava doesn't have any, where Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and the 2 other Chacham who are with him don't have that excuse.
Well, to watch probably also.
Yeah, maybe, but then. Okay. So the Gemara says, Pshita, now, it's kosher that Soimchen b'chutz l'aretz v'nismachin b'aretz. Suppose the ones who are going to give smicha are currently in chutz l'aretz, and the ones who are receiving smicha are in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, it's not going to work. D'hamrin and d'loy, because we said you can't give smicha in chutz l'aretz. So therefore, we definitely, there's no question then that in that case, the ones who are in chutz l'aretz currently are not able to give smicha. If the receiver was here with us in chutz l'aretz, he wouldn't be able to receive smicha. So he can't long distance either. But what about the other way around? Ella, soimchen ba'aretz v'nismachen b'chutz l'aretz mai. What about if the ones who are giving smicha are in Eretz Yisrael and the ones receiving smicha are in chutz l'aretz? Would it be good enough? Because, after all, if he were with us in Eretz Yisrael, he'd be able to receive smicha, so maybe he can receive it long distance now, even though he's located in the chutz l'aretz, or maybe not. Maybe he has to actually be there at least in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Toshna, did Rabbi Yochanan have mitzar, alei did Rabbi Shomen ba'aba. Rabbi Yochanan was concerned, was bothered, was troubled about Rabbi Shomen ba'aba, that he wanted to give him smicha, and he wasn't able to, delay have a gabayu delismichay, because Rabbi Shomen ba'aba was not there with him, with them. So you see that he has to be there. So it's true that maybe, at least if they're in Eretz Yisrael, then they're able to do it. They're able to do it long distance by letter or whatever. But at least he has to be there in Eretz Yisrael. Apparently, at this point, Rav Shimon Ba'aba was in Chutz L'aretz, and therefore it doesn't work.
They can't just randomly leave it so for him when he comes.
They could, I guess, but they wanted to be able to actually give it to him and to actually be able to deliver it to him, and they couldn't. So the Gemara continues. Reb Shimon ben Zirud v'chadime, Reb Shimon ben Zirud, and another chacham with him, Umanu, and the Gemara interjects, who is that? Reb Yechon ben Achmai, that would be Reb Yechon ben Achmai, v'amila Reb Yechon ben Achmai, v'chadime Umanu Reb Shimon ben Zirud. So we both agree that there were these two chachamim. The question is, which one is the greater one, and which one is the one of secondary importance? Anyway, Chad to have a Gabayu Samchu, one of them who was there with Rabbi Yochanan was able to receive Smicha, but Chad to have a Gabayu Samchu, the other one who was not there was not able to receive Smicha. So again, you see that it has to be, they have to at least be able to be there. The truth is actually it's not so simple to do by letter. The Yad Ramah discusses it over here, and then whether in fact it would work. So again, like I said before, with Rabbi Yaakov Beirav, when he reestablished smicha, he did. He sent a smicha by letter to the Rabbach, and the Rabbach refused it and rejected the whole concept of reestablishing smicha nowadays. But whether you could in fact do it by letter is a little bit is not so certain based on this Gemara over here. Do they actually have to be physically present, or is it in a?
You mentioned quite a few big gentlemen who did receive.
So I'm saying, so the ones who received it, the Beis Yosef and the Arizal and whatever, they accepted it, and they were there in person. They were all living in Tzfas. The Rabbach was the Rav of Yerushalayim. He wasn't there present, he wasn't there in Tzfas. A big part of it, there were a lot of different facets of that machlokas. There was the point that the Rambam says that if all the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael gather together, they can reestablish smicha. Rabbi Yaakov held that if the Rubei Kekula, it's enough most of the Chachamim, and at that time in history, most of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael were tzfas. The Rabbach argued, no, all means all, and I didn't agree. And there were a variety of different points that the Rabbach brought up. The Radvaz also mentions it in Hilchos Sanhedrin on this piece of Rambam, and the Radvaz says, I was the chief rabbi of Mitzrayim at that time. He was the chief rabbi of Egypt for 40 years, the Radvaz. And he says also, they asked me about it, and I also said, if not, it shouldn't be done. So yeah, I mean, there were great Gdolei Yisrael on both sides of it, yeah. Anyway.
When there isn't, between all even the great people, when they don't have
achas, yeah,
you can't do things.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yochanan was trying really hard and eagerly anticipating when he could give smicha to Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Hoshia. Loi have a mistaya milsa, but it wasn't working out. So Rashi explains, because since we said you need three, whenever Rav Chanina and Rav Hoshia were by Rav Yochanan, he wasn't able to find two others to join with him for the smicha, because we said you need three for the smicha. We said you can have one that has smicha and the other two who don't, but apparently Rav Yochanan, it wasn't working out, he wasn't able to gather, whenever Rav Chanina and Rav Hoshia were in town, he wasn't able to find extra people like that. With that said, though, there is an explanation in the Sefer Chamra V'Chaye, an important Pirush on the Sefer Sanhedrin from the Knesset HaGdola. He says Rashi may disagree with the Rambam. Rashi may hold all three of them have to have smicha. So in that case, all the more so, Rabbi Yochanan may not have been able to find the other two. Anyway, so whatever it was, there may have been other things. Another point is also in general, even though they could do it with only three, they would prefer to have as many of the Chachamim as possible, and it wasn't working out. Havakom Mitzdar Tova, so Rabbi Yochanan was feeling really bad about it. Omrulay, so they told him, no Mitzdar Mar, Rebbe, don't feel so bad about it. Da'anan Midbeis Eli Kasidin, we're descended from the family of Eli HaKoyen, and no, they're going to live because they're Osik Patoro of Gmil Chasadim. But the Omer of Shmuel Nachman, Omer of Yonason, Minayin Shein Yismach in the base Eli. How do we know that people descended from Eli HaKoyen don't have the schus to get smicha? Shenemar, because one of the nevuas to Eli HaKoyen, because of the way his sons were acting, is Lo Yizokin Beveis Chokol Hayomim. There will not be a zokin throughout all the time in your family. So now, my zokin. What do we mean by the word zokin? Let me zokin mamish. Do we mean just plain old? You don't need that anyway. The next pasuk says that all the men of your household are going to die young. As we have in other gemaras where they have to be osik batora or gemilas chasadim, and even then, for example, we said that Rabba and Rabo, Rava and Abaya were osik batora or gemilas chasadim, and even Abaya lives only to 60, which is not really zokin yet. Zokin is 70. So mechalal, they're not living to the age of zikna anyhow. So you can't say that zokin means that. Ella. Ela smicha. Rather, the word zokin over here means they're never going to receive smicha. So therefore, they're saying that hashgacha pratis, the Eibush did taka arranging, that's why things are not working out and we're not able to receive smicha. Marshall actually wonders in that case why we're calling them Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Oshia, which should mean that they got smicha.
Caliber.
So it means they're of the caliber, but in fact he says maybe in fact before smicha they could also be called rabbi, but what it is after smicha they would just be called rabbi without even their name, and before that they could be called rabbi and their name. So they could be called Rabbi Chanina even without and Rabbi Hoshea even without having received smicha. Had they received smicha, people would just call them rabbi without even their name. But also he says maybe the correct use should be Rav Chanina and Rav Hoshea. We have the general rule that Rav means they didn't receive smicha and rabbi means they did. The Gemara continues, Rab Zera haba mitama lemismichei. Rab Zera was hiding out to not receive smicha. The Omer Rab Elazar, l'olam have a kval v'kayim. Rab Elazar says, always be in the dark and you'll live. In other words, stay out of the spotlight and you'll live long. Elsewhere, the Gemara learns this from the fact that you find, for example, that a house that has tzaras, if the house has windows in it, then you're going to be able to see the tzaras spot on the house, and then the house has to be closed up and may even have to be eventually demolished. As opposed to if it's a bais ofel, if it's a dark house that has no windows, then we don't say, well, go carve out windows into the wall to be able to see. No, because you can't bring in candles or whatever to see either. You have to be able to see it by natural light. So such a house ends up getting spared from tzaras. Even if it has tzaras on the walls, nothing happens to it. So you learn from that when a person is in the dark, when a person stays out of the limelight, then they live long. So now he doesn't want to be in the spotlight to receive smicha. So yeah. Kivin de Shama lahad de Amar Rabbi Elazar. But then when he heard what Rabbi Elazar had said, Ein Adam Ola Legdula, the person does not go up to a position of greatness. Elen Ken Merchlin, my Akal Ave Noisav, unless he's been forgiven for all of his Averis. So there's three things. It says when a person is married, when a person is oil l'gdula, and there's one other one that when a person gets married, when a person is oil l'gdula, and I don't remember now what the third one was, where Merkel and Loyal Kolov Enoisev, that Hashem forgives him all his averus. One thing we learned from by Shaul HaMelech, it says Ben Shana Shaul B'Malchoy, literally means Shaul was a year old when he became king. He wasn't, of course, he was a mature adult. It means it was like a 1 year old, he's free of averus. So when he heard that statement of Rabbi Elazar, Am Tzilei Anafshe, then he made himself available in order to receive smicha.
But the connection between getting smicha and being Michael Avonis?
The point is that now he's going to greatness. Now he's going to a higher level. He's becoming Rabbi Zera, as opposed to until now he was Rav Zera. So in order for that, so that would show. So it could mean which is it? By the way, is it a simin or is it a siba? You have the famous question with a lot of things like that in halacha. Do we say that this is this the siba? It's the cause because he's going to gedula, therefore he's being forgiven for his averus. Or is it just a simin when he's coming up to gedula like that? It's a simin that Hashem has forgiven him his averus. So Marashal says that that's what it means. In other words, that Hashem has forgiven him his averus. So it's a simon. He wouldn't be able to go to that gdula unless his averus had been forgiven. So therefore, Reb Zeira realized that therefore I should make myself available for smicha. And if it does work out, then it'll be a simon that in fact Hashem has forgiven his averus. Okay. So in fact, he samchur le Reb Zeira, when they gave Reb Zeira smicha, shoru lehochi, they sang in the following song. Now, usually the Gemara in Ksubas mentions, we actually just had this in Ein Yaakov right before Hanukkah, this is a song that they would sing to Kalas. So now they sang it in honor of Reb Zeira when he received smicha. Loit chal, there's no eye shadow, or there's no eyeshadow, v'loy srak, and there's no rouge to make their cheeks red, v'loy pirkus, or not pirkus, which is braiding the hair or other kinds of beauty treatments like that, v'yala schen, and she's a graceful gazelle. So in other words, by a kala, you say that she doesn't need all those beauty treatments, she's beautiful without them. By Reb Zeira, they're using that metaphorically to say, in other words, that without, even though he's shy and he's holding back from smicha like he's been until now, but nevertheless, he's a graceful, beautiful Tamid Chacham. Why these expressions? Marashar explains, both here and in Subas, it means, in other words, because you have, after all, there are different kinds of hypocrites. You have people who put on a face of being much better people than they are. You have people who look at them with their eyes, and they see that they're, and they see with their eyes. They think this guy is a good guy, and it turns out that he's a no good nick or whatever. Hear what they say. And you have people who pretend we're Nizirim or other kinds of Kedoshim when we grow our hair long. Reb Zeira doesn't need any of that. He's a true Tamid Chacham and a Tzaddik without any of those Chitzonistic things. So the Gemara continues. Since we're mentioning a song that was sung in praise of Reb Zeira, so the Gemara brings some other songs that they sang, another song that they sang in honor of some other Chacham when they received Smicha. When they gave smicha to Rab Ami and Rab Asi. By the way, like Reb Zeira, they were also from Babylon and they moved to Eretz Yisrael. Reb Zeira also famously moved to Eretz Yisrael, so Rab Ami and Rab Asi also had. Shoru lehu hochi, they sang them the following song. This is also in Ksubas over there. Kol min dein smoichalana. Anyone like these, those who are like these, are the ones we should be giving smicha. People of their caliber. Loi sismuchulana, don't give smicha for us. Loi mis samitin, not from samitin. Rashi over here explains that it means motion smouter, that it means motion rags. So like people don't give a proper reason for what they teach. So it's like a rag that doesn't properly cover a person. So those kinds of people, we don't want them to receive smicha. Voloimin sarmisin, and not from sarmisin, which is moloshin sirus, like mixing around, where they mix up the reasons of the Torah. And they don't give proper reasons, they give like backwards reasons. Va'amrilo, others say, lemi chamisin, don't give smicha to the chamisin, which means chamsonin, Rashi says, who hold back from teaching Torah to other people, v'loimi trumisin, and not from trumisin. Rashi says over here, what is trumisin? He says, I don't know. In Ksuba, so Rashi brings from a Gemara, from a Medrash, in Bereshis Rabbah, that trumisin means empty people. There's a lot of different explanations about all these phrases over here. What does each of them mean? Rashi explains some of them somewhat differently in Ksubas. The Oruch has other explanations in them. Whatever. These are various types of people who are not teaching Torah properly, and we're saying we don't want them to receive smicha. But Rab Ami and Rab Asi, we're saying, are not like that. They have all the good qualities that a Talmid Chacham should have. They teach the Torah properly. They teach the Torah. They teach it properly without mixing it up. They cover the topic very thoroughly, and therefore they deserve to have smicha. Yeah. And the Gemara brings, by the way, another example of a song in honor of one of the Chachamim, Reb Abohu, ki av osim mesivta lebei kesef, when Reb Abohu would go from the Beis Medrash to the palace of the emperor, where he would go there to talk to them on behalf of the Jewish people, nafti matrun yosa debei kesef, the noble women of the emperor's palace would come out, and they would sing him the following song. Rabba de Ame, the great one of his people, Medabana de Umse, the leader of his nation, Butsina de Nahora, the shining light, Brich Masyach Leshlom, blessed is you coming in peace. So the Ritva gives a different explanation. It means blessed is the one who helped you come in peace. So they would sing him the song in this honor. In other words, even though they were Goyish and noble women, they recognized how great Rabba Bohu is, and they sang the song in his honor. By the way, the Gemara mentions in Ksubas, when it tells us instead of Matrun Yosa, it says it was Amhosa de Beit Keser. It was the maidservants of the emperor's household. There's an interesting explanation Reb Levick refers to in one place in his writings. We don't seem to have his actual explanation. Is one of his papers that it's law that was confiscated by the Russians and lost, it seems. But based on the reference, it seems that he's explaining that Matrun Yosa refers to Malchus at a very high level, like an Atsilus. And Amhosa, the maidservants, refers to Malchus in lower levels in Biyah. And the point is that all of them, Malchus at all levels, is coming out to praise Rabbi Bahu for his leader, for his Torah and his leadership of the Jewish people.
What's the second type of Maturbis?
Maturnissa means noble. Miturmisin. So Rashi over here says lawyer Spanish, and in Ksubas, Rashi brings from Bereshis Rabba that it means empty people.
And you said that there's also another.
There's many other explanations. That was smartutin, like wags that don't cover things properly. Right. I'm saying there are a lot of other explanations. The Oruch brings, for example, that turmisin means like a not fully baked cake. So like you have a cake or a loaf of bread or whatever that's not fully baked. So like you have a half baked common cold.
There's
a lot of different explanations of each of these four expressions here in the Gemara. Okay, onward. The Mishnah had said arifas egla b'shloicha. Another thing where we have a machloikas, how many dayonim we need, is the decapitation of the egla arufa requires three. Says Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda again says that you need five. Tosfa says we're not actually talking about the killing of the egla arufa. Really, what we're talking about is the measuring to the nearest city. The psukim describe over there, mother du v'yotzus kenecha v'shefecha. They go and they measure to find the nearest city, and then the nearest city brings the egla arufa, and the chachamim of that and the zikne based in of that city take over, and they're the ones present for the egla arufa. Okay. Turn on abundance, we're learning a braisa. How do we know three? V'yotzus kenecha v'shefecha. The pasuk says you zikneim and you shoftim should go out. So again, zekeinecha shnayim, the word zekeinecha in plural means two. Sheftecha is also plural to shnayim, so another two. So that's four. Ve'ein based in shokel. And again, a based in cannot be an even number. Moisifna, lein oidechon, so you have to add another one. Harekan chamisha, therefore you have five. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. And again, you could ask what din Torah is over here, that we need an odd number. One possibility would be if they argue, for example, in Masechta Sota, the Gemara has a machlokas over there. What part of the body do you measure from? Do you measure from the heart, from the nose, etc. So therefore, so you can have the chachamim might, these three or five chachamim might be arguing among themselves what part of the body to measure from, and that could make a difference which is the closest city.
You want to have a ruba,
you? You want to have a ruba, that's the point, yeah. That was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Oymer, Zekenecha Shnayim. Rabbi Shimon said the word Zekenecha all by itself means two. We don't doubt him from the word Veshechtecha, as we're going to go on to say. The ain based in Shokol, so again that gives two, and you can have an even number based in Meisifin Alayin Erechot. So you add a third one, Harekan Shlosha, and there's your three. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Hai Shechtecha Mai Ovidle. What is Rabbi Shimon doing with the word Veshechtecha? And the answer is, that teaches us you need the special ones among your shoftim. It's not enough, again, to have zkenim from one of the smaller Sanhedrins of 23. You need from the Sanhedrin Gdola of 71. So he's learning from the word, so he's saying you need the word shoftecha for that, so you don't have the word shoftecha available to teach you another two. So, Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, Mizikne zkenecha nafka. He says, because it could have said, Zikne shoftecha, the elders among your shoftim. And we would understand that means the most distinguished among the members of the national Sanhedrin. Since it says zkenecha, then you can learn that it means another two. Rabbi Shimon, so what does Rabbi Shimon do to that? Imizikne, he says, yeah, but if it only had the word zikne, have amin a zikne ashuk, then he would think it could mean any old people. It doesn't have to be old members of the, it doesn't have to mean members of the Sanhedrin at all. Tosfos points out, it's one thing, zikne ha'ir means the special one of the city, but zikenecha, if it just said zikenecha without sheftecha, if it just said zikne, then it can mean any old people. Kosar Rachmana, Zekenecha, therefore the pasuk says, your Zekenim means the ones who represent the Jewish people. But if it only said that without the word b'shiftecha, have amina Sanhedrin ketana, then you would think it's enough for them to be from the Sanhedrin ketana from 23. Kol sevachmana b'shiftecha. Therefore, Rav Shimon says. Therefore, it says b'shiftecha. Mimiuchodin shebashiftecha means it has to be among the unique ones, the special ones of your shoftim, namely the ones of the Sanhedrin of 71. Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, Gomar zikne zikne, he learns from Xeda Shova from the word zikne, min besomcho zikne edes yidehem, because the Pasuk says, again, by the parhelem dovashot tzibur, as we talked about before, where it says the skenim have to lean their hands on the animal. And Malahalans miyuchodin shebeeda, and just like over there, it meant members of the Sanhedrin Gdola, which we said because it said zikne ha'eda means not just any old skenim, it means skenim from the eda of that represents the whole Jewish people, which we said meant the Sanhedrin ha'eda. We said miyuchodin shebeeda. So the same way over here, afkan miyuchodin shebezkenecha. So the same way over here, it has to be the special ones among your skenim. So the Gemara says, well, what does Rabbi Yehuda need that for? E Yalef, if anyway he's learning a Gzeira Shava from the Smicha on the Parhelam Dover Shal Tzibur, Leilef Kulam Ehasim, then he just needs to, then he can learn everything from there. Why does he need the words Zekenecha V'Shevtecha over here to teach us that you have four and then you add another one to make five? If anyway he's learning, if anyway at this point we're saying he's learning a Gzeira Shava from the Parhelam Dover Shal Tzibur, and we learned before on your Gimel Amud Beis that Rabbi Yehuda had said that you need five for that because he learned from the word Ziknev from the Samchu and Zikne, which meant four, and then you add another one, then you, the Gzeder Shava alone tells us you need five. What do you need the extra words in the Pasuk over here? So Ella v'shek techa l'minyana. Rather, what we have to say is Rabbi Yehuda is not learning Gzeder Shava from there, but rather he's saying that the word v'shek techa, vav v'shek techa l'minyana, the vav of the word v'shek techa comes to teach you that it's not just, it doesn't just mean the zkenim of, no, it doesn't mean sick.
Oh,
it just means, in other words, that, no, it means, another, no. No. It means that without the word v'shevtecha, yeah, we would have said zekenecha means two, and it might even mean any old zekenim. Now that it says v'shevtecha, doesn't it mean the zekenim among the shoftim? The word shevtecha, yes, means the zekenim among the shoftim, not just zekenei shoftim. But the word v'shevtecha means add another two. And because it's zekenecha, so in other words, it's like this. It could have said zikne alone. That would mean just two chachamim, and it could mean zikne ashuk. When it says zekenecha, means yours zekein, it means members of the Sanhedrin. Then when it says v'sheftecha, we're saying sheftecha means your judges, meaning from the national Sanhedrin of 71. V'sheftecha means not just that, but you have to add another two of them. It's not enough to have two, and then another one. You have to have four, and then another one. So therefore, that's how Rabbi Yehuda is getting his five. Zekenecha means your Zekenim of the Sanhedrin. Sheftecha means from the national Sanhedrin. V'sheftecha means two plus two. V'Rav Shimon, Vav Loidarish, Rav Shimon does not douse it the extra Vav for that purpose. Tosfos discusses over here, there are places where Rav Shimon, where it seems the other way around, where Rav Yehuda doesn't douse and evolve in Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon does, but Tosfos points out there may be different places where one of them douses evolve, and not the other one, but in this case, Rav Yehuda is dousing the evolve, and Rav Shimon is not. Okay, the Gemara asks, Elamayata. Fine, so we're saying, in any case, everybody agrees the word Zekenecha means two. The only machlokas is, are we learning also from Veshevtecha another two? Reb Shimon is saying no, and Reb Yehuda is saying yes. And the reason is, because Zekenecha and Sheftecha are in plural. Elamayata, well, the Pasuk continues over there. V'yotsu, the Pasuk says they should go out. So you should say Shnayim, maybe that means another two Dayanim. V'sumadidu, and they should measure, would mean Shnayim, meaning another two. So the Rabbi Yehuda, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hare Tisha, then you're going to be up to nine. Rabbi Shimon, Shiva, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you should need seven. Because you would have two more from each of those words. So you'd have two, 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 and two according to Rabbi Yehuda, two from V'yotsu, two from Zekenecha, two from Sheftecha, two from Mazdu. The Vav, we're saying, tells us that Sheftecha means another two. So you'd have two, 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 and two is eight, and then another one to make it odd. And according to Rabbi Shimon, V'yotsu, Zekenecha, V'Sheftecha is not darshaning for that purpose, Mazdu, so you'd have six, and you'd add one, and you'd seven. The answer is no, because Ahumi Boile, those words are not needed to teach us the number of Dayanim, but rather L'chidatanya to teach us what it says in a Braisa. The Yotsu, when it says they should go out, means Hein V'lo Shluchan. Specifically, they themselves, the Skenim of the national Sanhedrin, have to go out and do the measuring. V'lo Shluchan, they can't send Shluchim for that. Umodidu, and when it says they should measure, means Shafilu Nimsa Ba'alil La'ir, even if they find it very close to the city. It's obvious, Ba'alil means very clear, like you have in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, mentioned near Ba'alil, the moon was very clearly visible and everybody could see it. So even if it's very obvious that the body is very near a particular city, nevertheless, Tzorech Lasek v'Medida, they still have the mitzvah to measure anyway. A point of it is, actually, the Chamer of Achaye says, and the Chizkuni actually earlier on the Pesukim makes the same point, that the measuring itself is going to make a pirsum. It's now going to become more well-known. Hey, there's a big to-do going on over here. Members of the National Sanhedrin are busy doing land surveying over here, and that's going to cause people to come forward. You know what? I have evidence that can lead to finding the actual Ritzach. Now, so far, what we have is as follows. Again, we have Rabbi Yehuda saying 5, and Rabbi Shimon says you need 3, but everybody agrees it's only members of the Sanhedrin who are coming. Now, our Mishnah, though, does not go according to the following Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says there's another meaning of who has to go out when it comes to measuring for the Egla Arufa. The Yotz is Kenecha v'Sheftecha. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says the Kenecha zu Sanhedrin. The word Zekenecha means the Sanhedrin. So does that mean that the entire Sanhedrin or not? The Gemara is going to talk about soon. V'sheftecha is a melech v'kohen gadol. And the words v'sheftecha, he says, doesn't mean extra dayanim, and it doesn't mean members of the national Sanhedrin. It means the king and the kohen gadol have to come out and participate in the measuring as well. He's not going to become tamei. Because you're talking about to touch the body. You don't have to touch the body. You can be involved in further along in the measuring.
But even the walking on...
As long as he's not within 4 amas of the mess, not a problem. So Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says that they have to be present.
Speaking specifically in Eretz Yisrael, is this connected?
This whole concept of Egla Rufa applies only in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. So Tosfos points out, in other words, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, if the Mishnah had meant that in fact the king and the Kohen Gadol should be there, it should say so. It's one thing when you have, for example, a Mishnah mentions the Sanhedrin of 71, all 71 of them doing something, then it may not have to mention the king and the Kohen Gadol. But here, where it's saying 3 or 5, then it's clear if it meant the king and the Kohen Gadol to be present as well, then it should have said so. Anyway, so where does he get that? V'shef techa means the king and the kohen gadol. Melech tichtiv melech b'mishpat yamid aref. The pasuk says the king upholds the world with judgment. So we see that the king can be called a shofet. Kohen gadol tichtiv uvosel a kohenim alavim ve'la shofet. The pasuk says that you come to the kohenim, the levim, who are members of the Sanhedrin, and to the shofet. And the Gemara's understanding over here that the shofet means the one in charge of the kohenim, namely the kohen gadol. So we see that he holds that both of them are called shofetim. Okay, the Gemara says he borrowed the rule. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov b'chodah polig over tauti polig. Is Rabbi Lezman Yaakov arguing with the other Chachamim on one point or on 2 points? The melech v'kohen gadol polig, is he arguing about the point whether you need the king or the kohen gadol? He says yes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say no. Abba b'sanhedri ikir Rabbi Yehuda ikir Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to the number of members of the Sanhedrin who are actually present, there he holds either according to Rabbi Yehuda that you need 5 or Rabbi Shimon that you need 3. So is it just he's saying you need 3 or 5 members of the Sanhedrin plus the king and the Kohen Gadol? Or do the Sanhedrin now he's polling? Maybe he's arguing regarding the Sanhedrin as well. Makula Sanhedrin Ba'inan, maybe he would hold that you need the entire Sanhedrin of 70, all 71 of them, to be present.
Why would you think so?
Why would you think so? Because he's saying that you need Zekei, because we're saying that he says you need Zekei Necha v'Sheftecha. Maybe Zekei Necha means all the Chachamim, means all the Chachamim. Maybe it would mean that you need, maybe he would hold, given that we're saying our Mishnah is not like him anyway, that he may well hold that you need all of them. The
Sanhedrin of
Lishkas HaGazis, yeah.
23.
No, the Sanhedrin of Lishkas HaGazis is 71. And the point is, actually, the Binyan Shloima says that since Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says the word Zekenecha Zu Sanhedrin, it sounds like he means the entire Sanhedrin. Therefore, the Gemara is asking, does he really mean that, or does he mean no? It's enough to have 3 or 5 of them, like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon say. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yosef Toshma, we'll bring a proof from the following Braisa. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about the details of the din of Zokin Mamre. We know the Torah tells us in Parashat Shoftim, shortly after that pasuk about the Vosel HaKohenim Alavim Vela Shoftim, the Torah tells us that if a Talmid Chacham argues with the national Sanhedrin, then he's Chayev Mis. On certain things, then he's Chayev Mis. We're going to have the details of it later on, and that Pei Zayin Pei Ches. So now, The Braisa says, Toshma, Motzen a Beis Pagi. Suppose that the person, the Zokin Mamre, met up with Sanhedrin in Beis Pagi. Beis Pagi is an area within the walls of Yerushalayim, so it's considered part of Yerushalayim, even though it's outside of the city proper. In different places, Rashi explains that it's an area, it's like an area that was afterwards added on to Yerushalayim. Beis Pagi, Rashi elsewhere explains, literally means like the harness, like the reins of an animal, which surround its face and its muzzle. So the same way Beis Pagi is like an area surrounding Yerushalayim, but it's included within the walls. So if he finds them in Beis Pagi, so not in Lushkas HaGozis, v'himra alehen, and he argues on them in Halacha, you would think that would be considered that he's now a Zokin Mamre and he's Chayiv Nisa. No, Talmud Lema, the Pasuk says, v'kam tival Lisa el amokim, the Pasuk says you should get up and go to the place where the Sanhedrin is located, and then listen to whatever they say, which means Malamat Shal Mokum Godim. We learn from that the place where the Sanhedrin is located is what makes the difference. Only if they're sitting in Lushkas HaGozis and he disobeys them, is he considered a Zokin Mamre. Now when they're in Beis Pagi, even though Beis Pagi is an extended part of Yerushalayim, it's not considered the same place. Tosfos points out, when it comes to Maisa Sheni, for example, the entire Yerushalayim is considered the Mokum. But over here, for the Sanhedrin, Mokum means specifically the Lushkas HaGozis. For example, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that 40 years before the Churban, the Sanhedrin moved out of the Lushkas HaGozis and moved to a place on the Har HaBayis called Chanuyas, and at that point they couldn't judge Dini Nefashis anymore. We're going to learn later in the Masechta why they did that, but anyway, the point is that for the Sanhedrin Gedolah, Davka, they have to be in Lushkas HaGozis, no place else. Anyway, so we have to ask Nofuk Kama. Now, how many of the Chachamim left are currently in Beis Pagi that we should be talking about? That this Zokin Mamre meets up with them and argues with them. And by the way, the Zokin Mamre, it's not just that he argues with them. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about all the details. It means not only he argues with the Psak Din, but he goes and teaches other people to follow his own Psak rather than theirs. So yeah. Anyway, so the Nofuk Kama. How many of them left? Elaim Sostan, you're going to say that only a few of them left. What do you mean? Anyway, he wouldn't be a Zokin Mamre. Dilma Hanach the Ikka Gavori Kaimikabasei. After all, the ones who remain in Lushkas HaGozis might well agree with him. So if you have 20 members of the Sanhedrin are there in Beis Pagi, of course, if he argues with them, he's not a Zokin Mamre. There are 51 more in Lushkas HaGozis. He might go to them and they'd agree with him. Ela Pshitid Nofuk Kulu. So obviously, and it can't even be the majority of them, it has to be all of them. So it has to be that all of them left. Well, Lamai, now what purpose would they go out for? Ilema l'dvar harashus, would they be going out just because they have to go out for some personal matter of their own? Mi motsu nafki, are they in fact allowed to leave when there isn't a certain number of them left over there? Now, Tosfos points out, eventually, they don't stay there overnight. They go after the Talmud, they leave and go home after Talmud Shomayin Abayim. But it's not likely that you're going to find them all in one place. So we're assuming you find them as a body in Beis Pagi means they all went out for some specific purpose. Well, if that specific purpose during their working day is L'dvar HaRashus, then are they allowed to? Mimosim Nafi, would they be allowed to? V'oksiv, the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Shorerech Agan HaSahar, your navel, this is part of the praise that the man over there in Shir HaShirim, representing Hashem, is giving the woman, the Jewish people, your navel is Agan HaSahar, is like a round bowl, Al Yechser HaMozeg, there should not be lacking diluted wine from it. Now, later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn that Shorerech refers to the Sanhedrin, and it's called Shorerech. The Sanhedrin are located in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the middle of the world, and they're like the navel, just like a baby is sustained in the womb by the food that comes into its mother through its navel, through its belly button. The same way the Sanhedrin are the ones who sustain us with Torah, so they're compared to the navel, and they're called round because the Sanhedrin would sit in a half circle, in a half circle shape, so everybody could see each other. And the positive thing, Al Yechser HaMozeg, there should not be lacking mozeg, diluted wine. So that means that there, and the Gemara later on in the Masechta explains that they can leave only if there are going to be at least 23 of them left. So the maximum that can leave at any one time is 48 for Dvar
HaRashus. Is that phrase with the word navel?
So we're saying the Sanhedrin are compared to the navel the same way as the navel is in the center of the body, the same way the Sanhedrin is located in the center of the world, and the same way as a baby is nourished through its navel, the same way we are nourished through the Sanhedrin who teach us Torah. Only if there's 23 left in the room, in the Lishkas HaGazis, can other ones leave. How do we learn that from the word Al Yachzer Amazeg? Tosfos over here and in other places in Shas discusses a couple of possibilities. One of them is because wine is usually diluted in a ratio of two parts water to one part wine. So therefore, if we take the Sanhedrin of 71, divided in three, we have 23 and change. 23, 23, 23 is 69. So we can learn from that there has to be at least one third of the Sanhedrin left, which is 23. Another point Tosfos says is because the word Mozeg is gematria 50. So it means 50 of them can't leave. 49 of them could leave. And if 49 of them leave, means you have 22. And in based in Shokol, you're going to have to add another one. You'll take one of the Talmidim and temporarily appoint him as the 23rd, and there you're back to 23. So one way or the other, we learn from the Pasuk that there always have to be 23 present during the working hours of the Sanhedrin, which is from the Talmud Shal Shachar until the Talmud Shal Ben Amayim. There have to always be at least 23 present.
Even though they're not judging?
No. Even though they're not judging. They're still teaching Torah. They're whatever. Yeah, they have to be in session during that time.
I'm still confused about the number. If there is 23 that can be missing, so then...
There can be 23 left. There can be 48 missing.
I understood.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then it can be that there will be less than 23 at the Sanhedrin, at the Lishkas HaGazis.
All times.
Right, at all times.
How do we prove that there is... How can we even entertain a thought that there should be a possibility of 71?
There's always 71 to begin with. The number of members of the National Sanhedrin is 71. Later on Daf Tes Zayin, the Gemara is going to explain. We already learned in the Mishnah. They're not all present at all times, but when they have a full session, then all 71 have to be present. But during their day, different people can leave for different purposes as long as they have at least 23.
Now that we're trying to prove that 71 should be there for the Sagan Mamre.
That's what we're talking about. So how could it be that? How could it be that all 71 of them left in?
Well, to go to the bathroom,
Fine, that's the thing. One person individually has to go to the bathroom. Right. He leaves and then he comes back. But there have to always be 23 at all times. Lahavdil Elafalfi Abdullah said you shouldn't even begin to compare. But for example, the U.S. Congress, they have Lahavdil, a very similar rule. You have to have a certain minimum people. As long as Congress is in session, you have to have a certain number of representatives present. So. They'd probably take it from this. Yeah. Anyway. So how could it be that all 71 of them left and then the Zok and Mamre would meet up with them? El Pshita L'Dvar Mitzvah. So it must be they left for a Dvar Mitzvah. Heichi Domi, what kind of Dvar Mitzvah would they leave for? Lav L'Medidas Egla. The Pashtus they would be leaving on their way to go measure to find the nearest city for an Egla Arufa. V'Rab Elazman Yaakov Hidom Akula Sanhedrin Me'in. So that would answer our question. Rab Elazman Yaakov says that all the members of the Sanhedrin have to go out for that, and therefore that would be a case where he meets them up as they're leaving Lushkas HaGazis, as they're in Beis Pagi in the suburbs of Line, he meets up with them and argues with a psach din of theirs and tells other people to follow it. And nevertheless, he's not a zok and mamre because they're not in Lushkas HaGazis. So you would see from that, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that all 71 of them have to go. The answer is only Abaya. Abaya answers to Rabbi Yosef, no, not necessarily. For example, we can have the Sanhedrin could leave the Lushkas HaGazis to add to the size of Yerushalayim or to the size of the Azara. We'll learn in Masechta Shavuos, Be'ez Hashem, later on this year, there's a whole procession and a whole procedure that they have to do. They need a king and a Kohen Gadol and the Urim V'Tumim and so on and so forth, and they can do that. They can expand the size of the Azara, where now there's more of an area where they can eat Kodshe Kodshim, and they can expand the size of Yerushalayim, and now there's a larger area where they can eat Kodshim Kalim, and it requires the presence of the entire Sanhedrin. So that would be a reason why they leave. That's a Dvar Mitzvah. They can be leaving for that. So that doesn't prove that they're leaving for, that they're all going for measuring for the Egla Arufa. Maybe Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov would still hold that you only need three or five of them. And however, the Gemara says, Tanya Kedetan, as we learn in a Mishnah, as we learned in our Mishnah, Amos Sifin Ala Irval Azoris, Ela Bebeistin Shal Shivim Ve'echad. And the point is, it's not just that the Beistin Shal Shivim Ve'echad are the ones who approve the enlargement, they have to actually be physically present at the procession where the city is made larger. So therefore, that would be a case where all 71 of them leave. Okay. However, the Gemara says Tanya Kavaseh de Rabbi Yosef. We learn a brisa like the way Rabbi Yosef learns it. Motzen abeis pagi v'himra alehen. If the would-be Zok and Mamre meets up with them in Beis Pagi and he argues with them, and what is the case where he finds them in Beis Pagi? Kigoyin shiyotzu l'medidas egla ula hosef ala irval azores. For example, they went out to measure to find the nearest city for an egla arufa, or where they went out, like Abaya says, to go and enlarge the city or the azara. You would think that his argument against them is considered a valid, is considered a makes him a zaken mamri, and he'd be chayv misa. No, tamid lo, if it comes to vali shalamakam, alam shalamakam gerdim, we see that it depends on the place. They have to be in the place in Lushka Sagazis for it to be confirmed to be considered a zaken mamri, and here they're not in Lushka Sagazis. So we see, like Rabbi Yosef, that yes, they might be going out for Medidas Egla, and therefore that brisa, that last brisa, would have to be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, there's no reason why all 71 of them would have to be present. And therefore we see that, yes, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is requiring that all 71 of them are there. And, as we said before, and the king, and the Kohen Gadol, and with all of that publicity, for sure somebody will come forward and give us some information about who killed this guy.
Doesn't sound like this ever happens.
Whether it ever happened, well, what did they ever paskin in practice like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? I don't know.
I'll talk about the Zaken Mamre.
The Zaken Mamre, actually, so we're going to learn later in the Masechta, there were cases of Chachamim who came very close to being a Zaken Mamre. Was there an actual case where it ever happened? I don't know. The Gemara doesn't mention it, but together with Ben Sura Ramura and Irani Dachas and whatever, it's things that never happened.
That.
So it may have happened. Ben Sura Ramura, yeah, I have an opinion that it happened. I have an opinion it didn't happen. We'll talk about it later in the Masechta, but yeah. All right. Next, the Mishnah had said, "Hakdeshes b'shloisha." Sorry, "Neter avayim ma'aseh sheni shen damu b'drum b'shloisha." We said, Zaken Mamre has to be that he argues against all 71. Yeah,
in the place.
Yeah. And in the Lushka Sagazis. To add to the ear and the Azores, you also need all 71 of them to be present. To measure for the Eglah rule, for that you have three different opinions. You have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you need 70, all 71 of them, plus the king, plus the Kohen Gadol. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you need 5. According to Rabbi Shimon, you need 3. So, netzer revai, ma'aseh sheni shein damu b'drum b'shloisha. So the Mishnah had said, when you have netzer revai, that has to be redeemed, and you have ma'aseh sheni, then shein damu b'drum, we don't know how much it's worth, and then you need b'shloisha, then you need 3 people to shatz up, to evaluate how much it's worth, in order for him to redeem it. Tosfos points out that the ein damu b'drum is not referring to netzer revai, it's only referring to ma'aseh sheni. A person is not necessarily so eager to eat it, because anyway, he should be used to it. The last 3 years, he hasn't been eating it anyway, because it was Urla, so he's not in such a hurry to eat it. So therefore, we're not worried, in other words, the point why we need 3, as we're going to say, is so he doesn't say not put it for too little. With Netzer Avai, we're not so worried about that. Maisa Shani, we are. So the Gemara says, Tonon Abanon, Ezo Maisa Shani Shane Dumb of doing. What do we mean Maisa Shani where the value is not known? What do you mean? You go find out how much this kind of fruit is selling for in the store. Paytas Shehutivu, for example, the fruit is partially rotted. The Yayin Shehikrim, or the wine has gone sour, or Mois Shechlidu, or money, because after all, you can exchange Maisa Shani for money, and then the money is the money in turn is brought to Yerushalayim. So now the coins became rusty. So in all those cases, it's going to be hard to figure out a fair price for it. So therefore, we need 3 people to evaluate it. The Gemara continues. Tana Rabban and Ma'ase Sheni Shein Dama Vidurin Poydin Oisei B'Shloisha Lekuchas. You could to redeem Ma'ase Sheni whose value is not known. You need 3 Lekuchas, 3 buyers to evaluate it. Avol Loi B'Shloisha She'en Lekuchas, but not 3. Not 3 who are not buyers. So Rashi explains that buyers over here means soichrim, means merchants who know how to evaluate the value of things even when it's something that's a little spoiled or whatever. Tosfos brings a different explanation that it can mean bidders, that it means people who are willing to bid, for it and will sell it to the one who offers the highest price. But Tosfos says Rashi's explanation seems to be preferable. So, afilu nochri echad mehen, even one of the 3 can be a goy, as long as he's a lakuach. But afilu echad mehen buy them, and even if one of them is the original owner, he also can be one of the 3. So the Gemara says, boy Rabbi Yemiya, shloisho matilon sech kisechad maru. What if it's 3 people, but all of them, but they're partners? They all literally, matilon kisechad literally means they put their money into one money bag. So in other words, they're partners, and all of their money is split 3 ways. So would we consider that, we can consider them to be the 3, and they can evaluate it, or maybe not, because they're all doing business together. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Ishu, Shtei Noshev, Poydin, Maisa, Sheni, Shein, Damu, Vidurin. Even, for example, a man and his 2 wives can be Poydin, Maisa, Sheni, whose value is not known, for example, like we're saying, it was spoiled. So therefore, so we see that now usually a woman doesn't usually have money of her own. Usually whatever she owns is part of it, is part of my, what Masha Kansi and Shakansa Baila. So the Gemara says not necessarily. For example, you could have, let's say, like the way Rav Papa did with his wife, with the daughter of Abba Sura, they were partners. She had her own independent income. So therefore, so you could say in that case, then they could be two of the three to evaluate Maisa Sheni. That doesn't necessarily show when you have people who join together in a partnership or husband and wife where the wife does not have an independent income, that we should be able to to count them, maybe not necessarily. So this is all according to Rashi. There are different other Rishonim have different explanations of what we mean over here. Again, Tosfos had said that it means that you have three people go and bid on it. But Tosfos says they don't really like that explanation so much, but that is another explanation. But in any case, the Yad Raman, other Rishonim discuss other points on this, that that what we mean is that are we concerned if the three of them are partners together? Maybe they're making a knunia. Maybe they're trying to trick over here. They're gonna buy it cheaply, and then they're gonna gain a profit from it. Yeah, okay, but nevertheless, maybe. So that would be the question. That would be the question. Are we choshish for that or not? So the Gemara said a man has two wives. The pastor said if one of them wants to buy it for himself, we're saying they would count as three. And the Gemara is saying that no, we're talking about that like Rapapa. His wife, who's b'chlal not a partner with her husband at all, and therefore we're not so worried about a knunia over there. But in another case, when they're partners, then maybe we do have to be concerned about a knunia. Okay, fine.
Netzer Rabbi, what's it estimated about Netzer Rabbi?